As a second example of the administration's failure to think and make moral judgments, consider the global network of military prisons it has created in which inmates are routinely tortured. On May 17, 2004, the Army Times reported that around the halls of the Pentagon, a caustic label had emerged for the enlisted soldiers shown in the infamous Abu Ghraib prison photos, the six morons who lost the war. I would suggest that they were actually seven morons, not six, and they were not enlisted men. The seven are President George W. Bush, his former legal counsel and subsequently Attorney General of the United States, Alberto Gonzalez, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Richard B. Myers, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, Commander of Ground Forces in Iraq until mid-2004, Major General Jeffrey Miller, Commander at Guantanamo until April 2004 when he took over Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, and Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman Senator John W. Warner, Republican from Virginia. These are the people who disgraced the United States and did nothing about it when the details of Abu Ghraib in particular began to be revealed to the public. As the Israeli court that sentenced Adolf Eichmann to death insisted, "The degree of responsibility increases as we draw further away from the man who uses the fatal instrument with his own hand. This is as true in cases of official torture as it is for genocide." President Bush was directly responsible for removing the legal restraints against torture. On the evening of September 11, 2001, in the wake of the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, he returned to Washington and at 8:30 p.m. addressed the nation from the Oval Office. Following his speech, he met with his senior officials concerned with the crisis in the Presidential Emergency Operations Center. According to Richard Clark, the former counterterrorism chief for both Presidents Clinton and Bush, who was there, Bush entered the room and said, "I want you all to understand that we are at war and we will stay at war until this is done. Nothing else matters. Everything is available for the pursuit of this war. Any barriers in your way, they're gone. Any money you need, you have it. This is our only agenda." In the ensuing discussion, according to Clark, Secretary Rumsfeld noted that international law allowed the use of force only to prevent future attacks and not for retribution. Bush nearly bit his head off. "No," the president yelled in the narrow conference room. "I don't care what the international lawyers say. We are going to kick some ass." As Timothy Garston Ash has observed, "We got off on the wrong foot on the very first day." Without question, Secretary Rumsfeld heeded what the commander-in-chief told him. Later that autumn, during the interrogations of John Walker Lind, our first post-9/11 torture victim, Rumsfeld instructed his legal counsel to order the military intelligence officials to take the gloves off. In the early stages of his interrogation under torture, Lind's responses were cabled to the Pentagon hourly, followed by return orders to keep up the pressure.